So, Scott, I think you'd agree, man, it's nothing like some Earth, Wind, and Fire.
That, you know, it just brings me back to, I mean, 70s. So, yeah. Iconic group of the 70s. Still listen to them today on my workout list.
Yeah, so nothing like some Earth, Wind, and Fire. Never
storyline,
mind me.
I went to see him live a couple years ago.
Yeah, he told me. He said they stole the show.
Oh.
Like, it was the Eagles, Earth, Wind, and Fire, I think Chicago or some other ones out there.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, he said Earth, Wind, and Fire stole the show. Never mind me, man. I'm just going to be jamming this morning. welcome back to Inside Sports Medicine.
We could be disc jockey. We just spinning some records here from the 70s.
That's right. Filling in for Dr. T.O. Soriel this morning is Brad Ballard and Dr. Mr. Scott Blumenthal. And so, Scott, did you watch the game last night, the Mavericks game, Mavericks playoff game?
You know, I watched part of it. Mm-hmm. Luke is unbelievable. He needs some help. I mean, one-man show, and the Kawhi came to play last night. Kawhi was pretty darn good, too.
So yeah.
The Clippers, you know, if they play like that, the Clippers, you know, they were thought of being one of the elite teams in the West.
Right.
But they kind of didn't play very well the first couple of games, and Luka is just consistent. He's just scoring in the 30s and 40s, and you know, just one other person to kind of get hot, and that's what we need to do. But
yeah, so some friends and I went out to dinner last night. We were talking about, you know, I haven't watched basketball as much as I have in the past, and particularly as much as we did whenever we were covering the Mavericks several years ago. But they were talking about how Kawhi Leonard, I guess, has kind of laid up a little bit the last couple of years relative to where he was whenever he was in Toronto. But it sounds like some of the old Kawhi may have,
he was, you know, he was pretty unstoppable
last night.
You know, and you mentioned it, you know, Luka, what's he, 22? I mean, they're watching some of the other games. They're just some amazing young stars. This kid from Atlanta, Trae Young.
Yep.
I mean, he hits threes, you know, way beyond the arc, just like Steph Curry does.
Yeah.
I mean, guy can shoot, and John Morant has just rockets and on his springs on his legs. He gets higher than any guard I've seen up the basket.
Yeah, there's definitely a change in the guard
in terms of the guards.
Yeah, because the way it's played, so we were talking about this last night, like the whole 3-and-D kind of game, you know, you got to have 3-point shooters and defenders.
Mm-hmm.
The way the game has been changed, it has been played now relative to the way it was with guys used to play with their back to the basket. We were talking about how Hakeem Olajuwon used to have the dream shake, mm-hmm. used to have the Patrick Ewings and the, you know, the David Robinsons. Now those guys are stepping back, shooting threes. It's just a completely different game. But
you know, the Lakers are just methodical.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously LeBron controls the pace of the game,
mm-hmm.
whether he's shooting or dishing off, but it looks like he's in control.
Oh, he's orchestrating the entire thing.
And that brings up every year the conversation about the GOAT.
Right.
You know,
right.
He wins again. You know, it's, you know, I had a kind of a revelation about the GOAT.
Okay.
So, you know, I was
listening. About the concept of the GOAT or who's the GOAT?
Well, the concept.
Okay.
So, you know, people talk about, well, you know, Bill Russell, he won 9 championships. I think if you want to compare someone as the GOAT,
mm-hmm.
like a young person,
yeah.
I don't think he can say, make a comparison between MJ and LeBron. I think you have to have seen them both play.
Right.
So people our age that kind of have seen them. Now, most of us never saw Elgin Baylor, Bob Cousy.
Right, right.
Bill Russell.
Right.
And the same thing in golf. I think you had to have seen Jack Nicklaus and Tiger play. So you have to be a certain age to have seen both of them play, because they're not. It's not just stats. It's also the eyeball test.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and it's not just watching, right? It's being in that environment. There's a different energy. There's a different, you know, there's just a different energy at the time. I mean, you can go watch some, you know, some highlight reels of Jordan, but it's just not the same as being at the time where he was the man, right? No, I completely agree with you. It's hard to have perspective when you're not, you know, when you're not in that era, being mm-hmm. able to see, because there's more than just a video that speaks to it. I mean, there's playoff, you know, implications. There's what's happening on and off the court at the time. It's hard to just get a real good feel for what's happening by just watching a video, because I've seen videos of Dr. J, because whenever Jordan was around, the question was who was best, who was better, Dr. J or Jordan?
Right.
You know, and I would look at stuff like the Dr. J and be like, dude, it's clear, it's Jordan. But I grew up more in that kind of Jordan era. But
yeah, if you've never seen LeBron play live, you're absolutely right. It's a different feel. You just get this. I mean, yes, on TV he looks like he's controlling the game, but when you're actually at the game, that it's perceived at even a higher level.
Right.
That wow, there's no one else on this court of that level.
Well,
and
so
then they're spectacular players. I mean, you know, like the guys we just talked about.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Steph Curry, spectacular player. But there's something about the aura of LeBron and how he controls. He controls the other side of the ball, not even his own team.
Yeah, he controls the whole thing,
amazing.
Man.
Amazing. So, but I'm still an MJ.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, same here. I'm on the MJ GOAT side.
But I definitely concede the argument for both.
So, you know, we talked a little bit about some young guys, but we also got some old guys in the playoffs right now who's got injury that really may have some significant influence on the playoffs and who wins the series. Let's talk about Chris Paul.
Yeah, I think that everybody said that the toughest matchup for the Lakers on the way to the finals, in their inevitable march to the finals,
right,
was going to be this first round against Phoenix.
Yeah.
And that injury to CP3 has changed the whole thing. And it was interesting. I mean, now they're talking more about his shoulder.
Yep.
But when the injury first occurred, they were saying, well, maybe it was kind of a stinger.
Yeah.
Which is something we see obviously more in football. And then I thought about it, and, you know, he's an older guy. We all get more degenerative arthritic stuff going on,
yep,
particularly in our spine.
Yep.
And what if it's a cervical disc? I mean, what, you know, not in our field. In fact, all right. You know, you said stories of the week. I had a patient this week that I'm having a hard time figuring out whether it's the shoulder or a pinched nerve from a cervical disc,
right,
herniation.
Yeah.
And I said, you haven't seen her yet, but
right,
I sent her to you to do a shoulder injection to see if it's the shoulder or the neck, because sometimes it's not clear.
Yeah.
Segue back to CP3.
Uh-huh.
When the injury first occurred, people were speculating whether it was a nerve to the shoulder or the shoulder itself. Now, if it's a stinger, it wouldn't persist. I mean, it wouldn't last to the next game. So stinger thing is off the table.
Well, help the people understand what a stinger is so that they can have a little bit of perspective. So apparently he got hit. I'm not understand, but he got hit somewhere around the shoulder and
neck area. So and his neck, I mean, it was like a football injury, and you can either pinch a nerve, and it's on the outside of the spine. So inside the spine, is where the disc is, and when you have a herniated ruptured disc, that's on the inside of the spine. The nerves come outside and in the neck form something called the brachial plexus, which, you know, is the
kind of a network of nerves coming out of the spine.
Correct. And it controls everything in the arm.
Right.
The sensation, the strength, pain, all that stuff. So when his neck kind of went a funny direction, that can pinch or stretch. So you can either go, there's two kinds of stingers. One where you do it towards the arm that's hurting, one mm-hmm. where the neck goes away from it. That's
right.
A stretch. If it's towards it, there's like a little temporary pinch. And for a few minutes to maybe as long as, you know, an hour, you get this incredible searing pain,
yep,
down into your arm. And it can be accompanied with numbness and then that kind of that funny bone. It's
right.
The same thing as a funny bone, but worse.
Yeah.
And then as it wakes up, you get the pins and needles, the tingly stuff.
Right. And it will affect you temporarily.
Oh, yeah.
Could affect you for the game. I'm going to
Well, they were saying he couldn't dribble with for the rest of the game on with that arm, shoot with that
really?
Arm.
Really?
So it did sound neurologic at first.
Uh-huh.
Now they're talking about a shoulder contusion, and again, I don't know what that means.
Yeah. If you ever want to be reminded of what a stinger is, Jacob will like this. This is what happened whenever Colt McCoy got hurt in the national championship game against Alabama.
Yeah. Too soon.
You can always
too soon.
You can always remember what a stinger is that way. But you know, his was crazy, Scott. So I was kind of looking up CP3's history of the playoffs.
Oh, yeah.
He's pretty much kind of known for at this point, at least in the sports medicine world, as come playoff time, he's injured. So many years he's either had an injury that took him out of the playoffs or affected his team from the playoffs.
Yeah. So I mean he's not a big guy.
No, he's not. So I mean he broke his foot 1 year whenever he was with the Clippers. I think he broke his hand another year. Hamstring injuries consistently whenever he played for Houston, I know 1 year for sure. They had a shot to beat Golden State with Harden. He didn't play that game, which they ended up losing. They could have definitely used him. They missed like 27 threes that game, if you remember that. And so it seems like every year he gets to the playoffs and then there's some kind of injury. And so now they're saying that it's shoulder versus neck, and that this happened in game one. This happened in game one of the series.
Well, the first or second quarter of game one of the series. So right at the beginning.
So, you can't help but wonder, at least from a sports medicine perspective, like, some of it I think is kind of happenstance. You break your foot, you break something.
Yeah.
But, how much of it is just by the fact that Chris Paul is 30-something? I mean, how old is Chris? He's got to be in his 30s.
Yeah, but you said he has an injury history back, into his 20s.
Right.
So, it'd be interesting when T.O. gets back. To do a segment on quote unquote injury prone. What does that mean when an athlete is injury prone?
Chris is 36 years old.
36.
Yeah.
And we're talking about this shoulder injury. I'm curious on whether it is neck or it is shoulder. I think you mentioned it well.
Right now the
stinger's probably ruled out because he's able to play now.
Because of his age though, it could be cervical disc issue, because it sounded neurologic at first, and they're calling it a shoulder contusion, but again, I don't know what that means.
Right. That's
not a diagnosis.
Right. Then again, would you agree that even if he's got a cervical disc, as long as his ability to move and his sensation is not significantly off, they're going to do whatever they can to keep him in the game, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's whatever the injury is, it's not dangerous for him to continue playing. But it's certainly, you can see, it's definitely impeding the performance, which is unfortunate because it would have been, I think, a really, really good series. But
you think it's over?
Oh, yeah. It's a sweep now.
Really?
Oh, it's five games. Oh, yeah.
Really?
I just think the Suns had such good chemistry. And again, he was, he was the captain on the floor of the team. And they're really young, very little playoff experience except CP3.
Yeah.
I can't see the Lakers losing another game.
You think they have one win in them? You say it's done. It's four.
I think it's done. I mean, add to it just the demoralizing effect on the team as our leader's at 30% or whatever, whatever he is. But it's fun. I mean, it's the playoffs, I think, have been very entertaining because I usually not so interested in the first round.
Right.
But these first round matchups, because each team has just some player that's really worth watching.
Well, and it's interesting because, the Lakers were so, injured before the playoffs, and it's interesting how the tides turn. We'll probably talk a little bit about that whenever we get back, because it's interesting how everybody's healthy on the Lakers, everybody's healthy on the Brooklyn. Yeah, I mean, right, so it's kind of, we know how this is going to play out. But, all right, we're going to go on a break. Again, this is Inside Sports Medicine. Again, filling in for Dr. T.O. Sorreal this weekend. This is Dr. Ballard and Dr. Blumenthal. We'll be back.